I'm going to begin reading in John chapter 8. If you would, stand with me one more time out of love and respect for the Bible. And verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Boy, that's not where you want to be, where Jesus acts as if he didn't hear you. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let me preach to you this morning for a little while on this thought, standing between me and death. Standing between me and death. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the time together around your word. Lord, I love these people and I thank you they're here today. Lord, I thank you. It's a blessing to see each and every one of them. Please take full control now of all of our hearts. Lord, if there be one here today that is without Christ, that does not know that they're saved, bring them to a place of repentance and salvation. That's my prayer, Father. My plea with all of my heart. For your children, Lord God, each one of those who are saved, God, please meet the need that they have. Bless the children's church next door, the nursery, Lord, please, God, please be here today in a special way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Boy, oh boy, John chapter 8. This is a very interesting story. Amen. It's full of drama. Full of intrigue. It's one that cannot be boringly read through and moved on. Now, we're going to get right into this today because I think there's a whole lot in here. But I want to point out, number one, the situation, the surrounding, the scenario. Jesus is in the temple minding his own business there in verse 2. He was minding his business, which was teaching the people, doing the business of his father. You remember when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple, and Mary and Joseph came back and said, What are you doing here? And he said, Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Well, he's still a lot older than 12 now. He's 31 or so. He's still about busy about his father's business, teaching people in the temple. Now, I want you to notice, just by way of introduction, it was early in the morning in verse 2. Let me just say that again. It was early in the morning in verse 2. And there were people coming unto him. I bet you it was even earlier than 9:45. I just want to throw that in there, amen. This was Sunday school in the Bible. But anyway, on this very significant morning, some of the religious leaders in verse 3, the scribes and the Pharisees, brought unto him a woman. This was no run-of-the-mill, ordinary day for this woman. These leaders had brought this woman who was a very unclean woman, okay? They caught her in the very act of adultery. Now, I think it's interesting, don't you, how they all knew where to find Jesus. Now, they brought her to him on purpose, but they knew exactly where to find it. Listen, folks, there's still a lot of truth in what I'm saying to you today, is that the temple, the house of God, today is the church, that's where God wants us to be, and that's where we need to go to find and spend time with Jesus in a special way. They knew where to find Jesus. They brought this woman to Jesus, the Bible says there in verse 6, to tempt him, to see if he indeed was who he said he was. Now, they wanted to see if he knew the law, and if he was going to obey the law. They were not concerned about anything other than catching Jesus in a fault, finding fault in his teaching, his preaching, in his person. And can I tell you today, before I go any further, that's what the world is always looking for when you tell them you're a Christian. They're looking for fault in you to point it out and to discourage you, to make you think that you're a fake, to discourage you from living for God by telling you, well, you're not as good as you talk you are. Why do you make yourself out to be that way? And listen to me, that is the way the world works. That's the way the devil works. That's the way he worked in Jesus' life. They came to him early in the morning. Now, no. Think about this. He's in the temple teaching people about Jesus, about God, about the Bible, about heaven. He's teaching them so that they can be saved. He's giving his life for these people, and all that these people can do is try to find fault in him, tempt him. It makes you wonder, you know, why don't you find a ministry and get yourself involved instead of trying to find fault in everybody else? But we know that they weren't even saved. So they brought him to Jesus. They brought her to Jesus, and they were trying to find something wrong with him, because in verse 5, they knew Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Now, can I say that to you? That's very true. When you look back in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the law that God gave to them, when someone was caught in adultery, and there was no doubt about it, and this lady was caught in the very act, they were to be stoned. It was God's law. It was God's word. It was God's will that a person caught in the act of adultery was to die by being stoned. This was a very sinful woman. Let me say that to you today. This woman was an adulteress. This was a sin worthy of death. That's what they were saying. This was a sin worthy of death under God's... In other words, folks, listen to me today. Just because you don't get stoned, or people that are living in adultery don't get stoned today, that doesn't change how God feels about it. Okay? It doesn't change how God feels about sexual impurity, sexual perversion, immorality is a very serious matter with God.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, I'm not going to belabor that point, but this woman was indeed worthy of death under God's law. But this is not a coincidence that she was an adulterous woman. God is trying to teach us something here today.
Amen.
This was a woman that the Bible would call a harlot, or a woman who had committed fornication with someone who wasn't her husband. Now, again, I don't know anything about anybody's moral background here today, but there's a spiritual application that I'm trying to make here, that God says that all the people who are friends of the world are enemies of God in James chapter 4. And he calls those people, now listen, he calls those people that are friends of the world adulterers and adulteresses. So he's not talking about literally committing the act of sexual adultery with the world. It's a spiritual adultery. It's a spiritual adultery. See, we are all born in spiritual adultery. That's the way we're born. We're conceived in sin and we're born that way. We're born sinners. And notice, our only friendship, our only communion is with the world as a sinner, born sinner without Christ. Our only real fellowship is the people of the world. The Bible tells us that there's communion, darkness with darkness and light with light. But when I'm born in darkness. And Jesus is light. And so see, my fellowship and my communion as an unsaved sinner born into this world is communion with darkness. That's the Bible tells us that they run, people, the children of this world run with their own kind. I don't have to explain that to you. You know it. But see, this situation in this lady's life was reality. She was indeed a literal adulteress, but listen, she was also a spiritual adulteress. Now stay with me this morning. Don't drift off on me just yet. I'm getting somewhere here. But this situation was a reality for her. She was indeed guilty. And I want you to understand something. You and me, spiritually speaking, are also guilty. Every one of us has been guilty of committing spiritual adultery against our God. Don't miss the point here this morning. Adultery is committed now when a married person is unfaithful to their spouse. Okay? A married person is, or someone is unfaithful to their spouse. Spiritual adultery is just the same. It's being spiritually unfaithful to our Creator as a sinner when we're born. We're descendants of Adam. We have nothing in us but the nature of sin. The seed of Adam is our father, our sinful nature. And so we are born spiritually unfaithful to our God because we're not saved. We're in spiritual adultery, spiritual darkness. This spiritual adultery can also occur, I want you to understand now, it can also occur after you're saved when you're spiritually unfaithful to the one who saved you.
Amen.
Okay? This adultery is not, it's not an accident, it's not a coincidence that this woman was caught in adultery. I want you to see the spiritual applications here this morning before we go any further. This woman could represent an unsaved person. This woman could also represent a saved person who is now unfaithful to God and who has wandered back into fellowship with darkness in the world. I promise you, see, in the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, you don't have to turn over there. Matthew chapter 6, excuse me, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee, that's Jesus, be darkness, how great is that darkness? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, that after I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior, there's light in my soul. There's light in my heart. I'm born again. His very Spirit lives in me. But if I allow my eye to come off of Jesus and onto the things of the darkness of this world, the Bible says that I can flood my soul with darkness again, and it's great darkness. It's nothing more than spiritual adultery, where I become unfaithful to the one who died for me.
Amen.
So the situation is here. Jesus is there. He's doing the will of God, and these folks are trying to find fault with him, bringing him a woman who's caught in the act of adultery. Now, again, it's not that she was faking. It's not that they were pretending. She was guilty. And that's what I want to talk about, number two, the situation. But number two, then we have this, her silence. Her silence speaks volumes. I submit to you today that she was silent for two reasons. Number one, there were many witnesses of her adultery. The Bible says that she was caught in the very act. There were many witnesses. She could not deny the fact that she was guilty. But she was also silent this morning in the temple because she was in the presence of Jesus. You understand something? That one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will be stopped, amen? Every tongue will be stopped. Every lip, every mouth will be closed, shut, and there will be no more excuses. Her silence is proof that she recognizes her sinful condition.
Yeah.
Can I say to you right now, she recognized she was completely guilty. She recognized she was not going to wiggle her way out of this. Can I please just have your attention for a minute this morning and help you understand? You cannot wiggle your way out of the guilt that you have between you and your God. You and me, listen to me, like I said a minute ago, there are no exceptions in this room, including myself. We cannot, as long as we try to play the victim, as long as we try to make excuses, as long as we try to convince ourselves or convince the world, hey, that it's not so bad, we're never going to get saved. Her silence was proof that she was no longer making excuses. There was many witnesses. And listen, if you think about your life, if you, I don't know who they are, but you do. And you know there are many witnesses to the fact that you lived an ungodly life before Jesus. Now, I know, I don't want you to, again, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or ashamed. If you're saved, you're saved. But I want you to understand something. If you're not saved today, we could bring in a line of people here that could testify to the fact that you're a guilty sinner. And you could make excuses to me all day long. You can make excuses to people around you that don't really know you all day long. But you understand, there are people out there that have witnessed your life and witnessed your sin. But not just that, Jesus Himself knows everything we've ever done. The Bible says our hearts are open unto the Lord. He sees and knows every thought, every word, every action, every deed. He knows everything about us. So that woman is in that temple that morning. And she's got the witnesses over here. She's got Jesus over here. She's completely silent. She knows she's caught. She knows she's guilty. And can I say to you, that's where you've got to be before you'll ever get saved. Amen. There's so much going on in this story, but I want you to see something today. This woman was brought to a place that she desperately needed to be. She needed to be made aware of her guilt. You say, preacher, she knew she was guilty the night before when she was in adultery. Yes, she did. But that didn't stop her. Amen. That's not enough to know you're guilty. What you have to do is you have to come to a place where you realize I'm guilty and God knows it and I can't change it. I remember the day that I got saved. I'm trying to tell you what happened to me. This story is very, very close to my heart. Because, again, the adultery is not the point. It's not the point of the specific sin. It's the spiritual application of that sin. Living in the world. Living for myself. Doing what feels good. Doing what comes naturally. Doing what the world is doing. Just making myself happy. Trying to be like the rest of the world. Living in sin. But every time it would come to my mind, I would make excuses. I would justify it. I would say it's not so bad. I'm not as bad as her or him. I'm not doing this or that. And listen, that's the day that Jesus brought to my attention that I was a guilty sinner, vile and helpless, defiled to the core. That's when I was silent. I was brought to the end of my excuses. And you're not, dearly beloved, you are not, you cannot be saved until God brings you to this place. Because as long as you make excuses, I'll tell you a story. Nobody here. But I sat in my office over there not too long ago with someone who had been in church and who had wanted to talk to me and my wife after church about their soul. They needed to be saved. They knew it. We went in there, we talked to them for a little while, showed them some scripture, and told her about Jesus and about the need for salvation. And understand something, she did not believe she was bad enough. I got her through the plan of salvation and to the point of even praying the prayer for forgiveness and salvation. But in the prayer, now listen, in the prayer was something like this. I think I'm a pretty good person, Lord. I don't know, but I need to be saved, but I don't think I'm that bad, but I need to be saved. And you know what? After the prayer, I spoke to the person and I said, "Did anything just change in your heart?" And they said, "No." And I said, "Here's why. Because you don't understand. You're a sinner. Amen. You're still making excuses for your sin." Amen. And that precious soul walked out of this church lost. And as far as I know, it's still lost today. You and me, we've got to come to a place where we're silent about, and no more excuses, no more justifying, no more, well, it was because so-and-so made me, well, it's because of my upbringing, or well, it's because of my parents, or well, it's because of my financial situation, or it's just, and the list is, you understand, what I'm not being critical. I know where you're coming from. I've been there, and you and me can justify just about anything in our own minds without ever coming to a place of understanding I'm guilty.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
And see, this woman, even though she was brought to Jesus, can you imagine how she must have felt? I mean, she's caught in the very act. I don't have any idea how that happened. Please don't let your mind wander too much. But and there she is, dragged from that place into the temple, facing Jesus, facing an angry mob who wants to stone her, facing the very Son of God, who, you know, the radiant glory of Jesus Christ in the eyes, just the presence of the power of His Spirit. And there she is. How she must have felt. Her silence spoke volumes. Her conscience finally, listen, her conscience was finally pricked to the point where she no longer made excuses. But then I want to look at you, with you, number three, the Savior. What Jesus did in this story is obviously the main idea of this whole story, this whole message this morning. Here's what Jesus did for this lady. He stood between this guilty adulteress and certain death. You understand, if they wanted to, if they would have wanted to, if they would not have desired to go tempt Jesus, they could have taken her out and lawfully stoned her to death. Because they were still living under the Old Testament. Now, I don't want to get too deep, but they were still living under the law. The New Testament did not begin until the death of the testator, till the death of Jesus Christ. Then the New Testament of grace and salvation began. But under the law, if they wanted to, they could have very easily just taken her out, they've proven her guilty, and stoned her to death. You understand that, right? And God would have not condemned that. That was what He told them to do. Now, we're not talking about that tonight, this morning, but I want you to understand something. He stood between her and that certain death. He was her only salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He was her only hope. Otherwise, she would have died a guilty sinner, and listen, and would be in hell today. I want to point out something further, though. This may throw you for a loop. But I want you to notice something today that I believe I'm going to prove to you from the Scripture. This is not her day of salvation. I'm going to say to you again, this is not her day of salvation. Salvation is a heart matter. With a heart, the Bible says, a man believes unto righteousness. And then with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We have no reason from this Scripture to believe that she gave her heart to Jesus. Stay with me. I'm going to prove it to you here in a minute. Frankly, I believe with all my heart, and I'm telling you what the Lord showed me, and I'm going to show you some scripture here myself, but I think I can prove to you that she did not get saved. Notice, there's two things here that I believe we can look at to prove that she didn't get saved. Number one, is her worship. What worship? Exactly. She didn't even say thank you. Now, you listen to me carefully. I know this is not what you expected, but listen to me carefully. She didn't even say thank you. You know what happened? She got off the hook and left. What? I want you to see with me in verse 9. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. Jesus was writing on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear them. He told them, if the first one without sin cast the first stone. He stooped down and kept writing on the ground. Now, I can't prove to you what he's writing, but here's what I want you to see. Verse 12 says, Jesus said, spake unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, hold on. Why did he say that right there? Because I believe, listen to me, the light of the world is not the sun and the stars. And the light of the world, spiritually speaking, is the light that reveals your spiritual heart. Your spiritual condition. The light of the world is Jesus Christ, and you don't know that you're a sinner until the Lord Jesus Christ shines his spiritual light. The Bible says it's a glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That light is what helps a person see who they really are. What Jesus was writing on that ground, I believe, was the sins of those people. He was revealing their sins. He was writing out adultery, fornication, murder, lying, disobedience, rebellion. And he was going just listing the sins of these people in this crowd. And that light was revealing to them who they really were. And so and when they got convicted, listen, they left. They left. How many times has a person sat right here in these seats and this old-fashioned book was open and this old-fashioned preacher preached what the book says and conviction fell on people's hearts and the light of the world, Jesus Christ, opened up their hearts to show them who they really are and they just walked out. Now, those people didn't get saved. They left Jesus. They walked out. You see that, right? I want you to notice something. Verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. That's all. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And what did she do, church? Well, there's nothing else said. She left. She left just like they left. She knew she was guilty. She knew she could have died. She knew she deserved to die. She knew the law. She knew Jesus stood between her and death. She left. Folks, that's not salvation. Knowing you're guilty is not salvation. Knowing you're a sinner is not salvation. Admitting you're a sinner is not salvation. The first reason I say that I don't believe she got saved that day is because of her worship. There were none. There was none. There was no words of thank you at all. Secondly, I want you to think about Jesus' words. Jesus' words were very simple. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's it. You remember 10 lepers over in Luke chapter 16, 17? 10 lepers. The Bible says they were all cleansed of their leprosy. Every one of them was cleansed of their leprosy. One came back. Remember that story? The Bible says that Jesus said to that one that came back and worshipped him and thanked him and glorified God. He came back to him and Jesus said these words to that leper. Now pay attention. He said, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you see that in this story? All he said was, go. He said, go and sin no more. This woman did not place her faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said nothing like that to this woman. He did not say, thy sins are forgiven thee. He didn't say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say, thy faith hath made thee whole. There was nothing but go. And one pricking phrase of conviction, sin no more. See, 10 men were cleansed of leprosy in that day, but only one was spiritually made whole. You understand? Healing of my physical body does not translate to my spiritual salvation. You can get healed all day long. I hear people talk to me all the time about, well, I know I'm saved because the Lord saved me from a car wreck. I was in a bad car wreck and I could have died. And I know that the Lord saved me. And I know I'm going to heaven. That's not spiritual salvation. That's God giving you another opportunity. That's God giving you another chance at life. That's God giving you more breath to breathe so you can get saved. But that's not salvation. Amen. One leper got saved that day, but nine escaped the leprosy. One woman here in this chapter escapes certain judgment. He stood between her and death. She escaped certain judgment, but listen, not forever. Listen, hang on now. What? This is not a picture of her salvation. This is a picture of the cross. Stay with me. Don't lose me. This is a picture of her opportunity for salvation. This is a picture of God's grace not giving her what she deserved. This is a picture, but so like so many others, and maybe some even in this room, she took it for granted and she just went out the same way she came in, guilty. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said, sin no more. Because here, why did he say that to her, preacher? Here's what I think. He said, sin no more, because he knew she's going to go right back. And he wanted her to remember one thing. Sin no more. Sin no more. Every time she went back to sin, those words are going to ring in her ears. And blessed God in heaven has a power of God through this book right here that when sinners walk out of this church, when sinners walk away from your gospel witness, when you give them a gospel track and try to lead them to the Lord and they walk away, you better believe one thing, dear beloved, those words are going to be ringing in their heart's ears. And every time they go back to sin, there's going to be a ringing of that sin no more, sin no more, sin no more. Amen. Conviction's what I'm talking about. See, she didn't get saved this day. Jesus stood between her and certain death, just like he did for you and me when he hung on the cross. But I didn't get saved that day, neither did you. Are you with me this morning? I'm trying to make this as plain as I can. Don't lose me. She didn't get saved that day. She just got grace and not judged. But one day, she's going to face the judgment. You understand, when Jesus died on the cross, when he hung on the cross, he became our only hope of ever escaping judgment. And listen, that doesn't make me saved. Amen. That doesn't make you saved. Amen. You have to personally repent of your sin. That's one thing. Listen, she never repented. She knew she was guilty. She never tried to make excuses. But that's not repentance. Repentance is turning to God from sin. She went away from God. Amen. Just like the rest of the crowd. Just like the rest of the crowd. She knows she's guilty. She knows Jesus stood between her and certain death. She knows he told her to go and sin no more. But she never trusted him as her personal Savior. She went out. She went away. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to show you one more thing this morning. We'll be done. I told you that her worship is proof she didn't get saved. There was no worship. There was not even a thank you. And if there's not even a thank you on your lips for the day you really got saved, listen, I would be very cautious. She went away from Jesus. How many times have you witnessed to somebody, told them about the cross, told them about salvation, told them about death and hell, and the blood of Jesus is their only hope, and they just go away? It doesn't mean they don't know. It means they don't want it. But I promise you, the Holy Spirit's going to ring in their heart's ears, sin no more, sin no more. Why? Because sin's the reason we need to be saved. But I want to show you Jesus' words, go. Her worship None. There was none. Jesus' words, go and sin no more. But I also want to show you finally this short verse, the third reason I believe. Look in verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again unto the temple. That short verse, verse 1, says he went unto the Mount of Olives that night before. It's a very small verse, but I want to point out something very large to you. This helps prove that our story only points to the cross, not to this woman's salvation. Jesus has spent the night before this situation here. He has spent the night before in the Mount of Olives. This is where the Garden of Gethsemane is located. This is the place where Jesus often went to pray. His disciples knew where to find Jesus when they needed him. They knew that he often went to pray in the garden on the Mount of Olives. Jesus was praying the same place the night before the cross. The cross. The night that he was arrested, the night before they crucified him, Judas knew exactly where to find him because he knew he would be in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And that's where he was the night before this happened. I don't know if I've lost you or not, but the Holy Spirit's given us a perfect Bible. This is not a picture of her salvation. This is a picture of Jesus on the cross, standing between us and certain death. But until you personally place your faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin and turning to him, not going away. You know you're guilty this morning. You know you're not saved. You go away, you're still not going to be saved. You know you've sinned. I could bring a whole line of witnesses in here, like I said, and they could testify. They could say, preacher, well, I've seen her do that. I've seen him. And I promise you, you know who they are. I don't know who they are.
Amen.
But you know who they are. I promise you that the Holy Spirit knows everything about us, and he himself is testifying to you right now and testifying, telling you in your heart, you're guilty. Yeah. The only hope you have is Jesus standing between you and certain death, judgment for your sin, which, by the way, will come. It will come. The only hope you have is turn to Jesus. Place your faith, give your heart to Jesus Christ. This woman did not get saved. You're not going to get saved if you just walk out of here today. Oh yes, he died for you just as much as he did for anybody else. But you're never going to be any different until you place your faith, your personal faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to him. You don't walk away. That's not salvation. Jesus stood between her and death, just like he did us. But I'm saved today. I don't walk out. I come to Jesus. I don't walk away. I remember the day, May 13th, 2004. Amen. I promise you, I remember that day forever because I knew I was guilty way before that day. I knew I was guilty way before that day. But I kept going away. I kept trying to get out of it. I kept trying to get away. Wiggle my witness. No. That day, I finally came to Jesus. I gave him my heart. Now I'm different. I'm not saved because I'm somebody. I'm saved because I gave my heart to the one who died for me.
Amen.
Listen, I'm different. This woman, I'm sure this woman had a few days of, you know, well, I better be careful. I can't sin anymore. I almost got, oh man. But if she didn't get saved, listen, just like you do. You get caught. Oh man, I better stop all that. Oh man, I better stop all that. Oh, I can't do that anymore. Day goes by, 2 days, 3 days a week. And what are you doing? Same thing. Why? Because you're not saved. You just got caught. That's not salvation. Salvation is when you give your heart to Jesus Christ. Listen, and he changes everything. It's conversion from death to life, amen? From darkness to marvelous light. Don't you understand? Just because he died for you doesn't mean you're saved. It means you're guilty. It means you need a sinner. But you've got to personally place your faith and your heart in Jesus Christ's hands. Then you'll be different. Then you'll learn to hate sin. This woman didn't hate sin. She just went right back out to it.
Amen.
Have you ever recognized your total helplessness? That's not salvation. Have you ever been thankful that you didn't get what you deserved? That's not salvation. That's not salvation. Jesus Christ is salvation. Until you come to him, in faith, believing, repenting of sin, and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation, you're not saved.
Amen.
This woman was not saved.
No.
Jesus is salvation. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, I pray for your help this morning. Lord, I pray you'd open up hearts and eyes to understand where they're at, that they would examine themselves, Lord, and understand, dear God, please, that there's a lot of different lies going on out there today. Total misconceptions, deception, Lord. Lord, false doctrine. Lord, false teachings, false prophets, trying to make people believe they're okay just because they know they're guilty, just because they're not getting what they deserve. Lord, please, work in the hearts of people today. I don't want people just to think they're saved, Lord God. I want them to know that you live in their hearts. I want people to know, Lord God, that you're dwelling them through your Spirit. That there's a new heart, a total conversion, a born again experience where they're alive once, where they've never been alive before, and they're alive forevermore. Lord, it's so much more to it. I pray, God, you'd open the eyes of the sinners. Well, I pray, God, you'd help them to see how desperately they need Jesus. I pray for those, Lord God, who just don't have any change in their own lives, no change in their life, no change in their heart, no new desires. They're just trying to get through because they feel guilty or responsible. Lord God, please open their eyes to see that that's not salvation. They must completely give their hearts to Jesus, place all of their faith in Christ. Wholeheartedly, God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to bless the invitation. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Jesus went to the cross for you. He died. He stood between you and certain death. He did it for me. He did it for all the world. But you know as well as I do that all the world's not going to be saved. Many people are just going to go out. Leave. I don't want that to be you today. Understand something. God has sent his only begotten Son to take your place, to stand between you and judgment, death, eternal condemnation in a lake of fire. Jesus is the only person, the only way, the only hope, the only salvation from that. Just because you know that, by the way, she knew what Jesus had done. That didn't change her heart. She saw what he did. She heard his voice. That didn't change her heart. She went out. She went away. Dearly beloved, today, listen to me. Don't go away. You need to get saved today. Don't go away. Don't leave Jesus' presence. Run to Jesus today. Fall on his mercy. Fall on his grace. His power is waiting to save you. One day that judgment's coming. You understand? It's grace right now, but there's a day of wrath coming. Fall on Jesus today. Come to Christ today. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm not trusting in some guilty conscience or some experience. I know the day. I believe. I remember Jesus. He came to my heart and changed my life forever. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? Thank you very much. You can put it down. This morning, I want to ask you one more question then. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand, or maybe you weren't sure, or maybe you're just full of doubts and fears. I understand. Either way, listen, today's the day you can get that thing settled. Settled in your heart once and for all. Jesus doesn't play games with you. If you'll come to him, he says in John chapter 6, he will in no wise cast you out. The Holy Spirit's drawing you to him today. You say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know that I'm really saved, born again. Oh man, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? Can I pray for you this morning? Would you raise your hand right there where you sit? Just raise it up. Let me put it right back down. I'll pray for you. I won't call you by name. There's someone here today who needs to be saved. Are you going to go away from Jesus? Is that really what you're going to do? Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? That's all I want to do. I'm not going to embarrass you. You need to be saved today. You're going to go away from Jesus. That's your choice. I'll pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Who else would say, Lord, I don't want to go away from you. I need that salvation. I need that total. I need to be changed. I need conversion. I need to be born again. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about being guilty and wanting to change. I'm not talking about getting caught. I'm talking about getting saved. How about you today? Would you be honest? Would there be another one here today? Say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know I'm saved. Boy, I've never heard salvation put quite that way. Well, listen, that's God's grace speaking to you today. Come to Christ. Would there be anyone else? Let me pray for you this morning. Raise your hand right there where you sit. Put it right back down. No one's looking but me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, there's lost people in this room. I believe there's more than one. Lord God, they're just still going away. But Lord, I can't change their hearts. Only you can. I pray you'd keep convicting them of sin, Lord. Help them to realize there's certain judgment coming one day. Oh God, bring your children to a closer relationship with you. Bring the lost, Lord God, to Jesus today. In Christ's name we pray. Let's all stand together.